Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It's my pleasure to welcome Joseph Smith to the podcast. Welcome, Joe.
Awesome. Thanks, James, for having me.
So, Joe, you are VP of Customer Success at Upkeep. Although super brief, can you give us a little bit of background and intro to yourself?
Yeah, definitely. So I head our customer success team here at Upkeep. And essentially what that includes is our professional service team. So the team focused on actually deploying and implementing Upkeep at new locations. Our customer success team is focused on really driving the post-onboarding relationship. It's really honing in on adoption and making sure that customers are successful using the tool. And then also our technical support team. So essentially helping customers with any how-to questions, educational pieces on actually using the product.
All right. Excellent. So you get to experience all the issues that people have with either implementation, configuration, setup, all those different things.
Yep. All of it.
All right. So perfect. What reason we want to talk today is, you know, we often see organizations implement CMSs and they only take advantage of a small percentage of the functionality, or they implement it without really thinking through how it's supposed to work, what's the information they want out of it, all these different things. So I really want to get from you is what can customers do to implement this correctly and get the results they actually want?
Awesome.
So with that being said, what would you define as a CMMS implementation?
Yeah. So the way that we look at a CMMS implementation is really centralizing your maintenance program and your activities in a software. And this process ranges from centralizing your data, centralizing your workflows, and really making sure that the things that we're maintaining have a record. Because ideally, the outcome of having a CMMS system is really having a easy-to-use tool, but also that we're capturing business or capturing data to make better business decisions and also articulate the value that the maintenance team has on the business.
All right. So we want to make better decisions, be able to articulate the value we're bringing. So is that the definition of a successful implementation? Is that we're able to do those things, or is there a little bit more or less to it?
Yeah, there's definitely more of what a successful implementation looks like. I think the number one measure of success of an CMMS implementation is, does our team use it, right? Because your end users are going to essentially make or break, because if we're not processing work inside a CMMS system, we're not getting those key data points that we need to actually do reporting.
All right, so you're looking at user adoption. Are they closing their work orders or even closing them on time? Are they signing out the parts, using it? All those different things to get those data points.
Correct. We have a saying here at Upkeep, if it's not in Upkeep, it didn't exist, right? And really that cultural change of making sure that that's our mentality when processing work.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so we know it's what success is. What steps or process have you guys seen or utilized to make sure that we get that successful implementation?
Yeah. First, it starts off with planning, right? And planning doesn't have to be this over-engineered idea of, you know, how are we going to deploy this? But the way that we look at its steps, and I'll kind of run through how we do our implementations here, is first we define our system requirements. So this allows us to know the scope of our implementation, which essentially will give us a position of what do we actually have to set up? And when we think about setting up an implementation, you know, it's never actually ever completed, because hopefully what happens is you come into a CMMS system and you start maturing your maintenance program and start using more and more components of it as your team gets comfortable with using the system. But first, starting off with defining your actual system requirements is critical. The next part of it is identifying your decision makers and assigning owners to projects and tasks, right? A team that works in silos is never successful. So depending on the size of your organization or the level of maturity that you have, it's really going to be figuring out what resources are available. So for a really quick example, for some larger organizations, you know, having the accounting team might be important, because they might be focused on parts consumption. So aligning with their needs and what data they need to get out of the system will be really important. So understanding, do we have a stakeholder representing each part of the implementation? Now, once we understand our system requirements and those who are going to be responsible for executing on those requirements, it's really about setting timelines and milestones and what needs to happen in order for us to actually have a successful implementation and putting time around it and being able to track it, right? Now, once we have that all figured out, that's where we actually go into the implementation phase and we have a clear roadmap of requirements, the ownership, and we start building. And so as we start building out this, the actual implementation side of it, this is going to include things like data collection. So getting the information around your organization into upkeep, building out your workflows and actually setting up the system itself by configuration. Now, once we have the implementation phase done, we then go into user acceptance testing, right? And, you know, this is where we're really pressure testing this idea and we're testing the processes that we built inside the system. Because what we don't want to happen is we don't want our end users and our technicians to essentially be the ones doing quality assurance check on how we did a good job on implementing, right? We want to out of the gate, hand it over to them and build that trust with them. And then the last part, and I think this is probably the most critical aspect of deploying and implementing CMMS system, is having a really good change management program. And having this clear plan will allow us to have a really good strategy on rolling it out to the end users. And this includes things like messaging, includes things like training, supporting collateral, and also too, making sure that they have the equipment that they need to do their jobs. So for the world of upkeep, we're focused very much on the mobile first. So do your technicians have the tools that they need? Now, when we think about change management, another part that we see that's very critical is making sure that the deployment is communicated to the teams prior. And ideally, you actually have your end users participating in the actual implementation in some capacity, whether that be in the discussion on how we do perform our workflows or actually performing the actual data collection side of it. But what we've seen is if we start the conversation early, we have those participate in the actual implementation, you get essentially your early adopters using the system and get really good champions on the ground, which then again will help us get that adoption that we need that will make an implementation successful.
All right. So I like it. There's lots of different pieces we have going on here. We got to make sure we understand the user requirements. We got to engage our stakeholders so we understand what data do they need to provide or want from the system. The users, getting them involved in setting up the workflow, maybe talking to them about how are we going to name assets, how are we going to name parts, getting them all involved with that. Because in my experience, and you've probably seen the same thing, if they build it, they'll own it. But if we turn it over and just say, here you go, they don't own it as much.
Exactly, right? Trying to build that sense of ownership and then participating in it.
Yep. So with that being said, we're analyzing all these different things. How important is it to understand the business processes prior to implementing a CMMS? You know, whether it's how the storeroom works, how plan scheduling works. Do we have to understand those first?
100%. So understanding the business process is super critical. And essentially, the understanding the business outcomes will allow you to align your team's activities, which then you'll build process around, which then that you'll manage that process through your CMMS system, resulting in repeatability, capturing those key data, and measuring the team's impact and operations around the areas of business success. So really making sure that we're aligned across the board is absolutely critical, because it really will determine your team's area of focus, which, as I touched on, will determine the activities that they're performing.
Yep. Agree 100%. I've seen a lot of organizations skip that part where they're just dropping the software and let's not worry about the business processes or what we want the outcomes to be. And fast forward 5 years later and they can't capture failure codes, or the failure codes they're capturing are meaningless for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's almost, you got to begin with the end in mind and kind of work backwards.
Exactly.
So once we kind of understand those processes, all those other things you mentioned, what type of configuration is required within the CMMS? I know you mentioned workflows. Do we have to set up things for how we build our asset hierarchy, how we name spare parts, all those different things?
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, when we think about actually the requirements of implementing, what we first start off with is standardizing. So how are we going to look at location hierarchy? So how do we structure our facilities? That's going to essentially determine where work is performed or where assets live, right? So having clarity around your hierarchy is critical, because that's going to allow us to tell the technicians where to go do their jobs, but also to give us granularity around reporting so we can drill down in specific areas of the business. The same thing applies to asset hierarchy. So essentially, how are we actually managing and performing work on our pieces of equipment? Do our pieces of equipment and have a general preventative maintenance program, or are there components of it that may have their own schedules, right? So really understanding that hierarchy is going to be critical. The other part of it is really the standardization of naming conventions. And, you know, it sounds very simple, right? But a clear naming convention can really make or break an implementation, because ideally what we want is one band, one sound. As we're walking through the facility, everyone is talking and communicating about the equipment in the same exact way. But more importantly, as well, as we look at our data and our reporting aspect of it, there's clarity in there. So setting up those clear naming conventions is absolutely critical. And then that will lead into the next part. So once we have standardization, that's when we're going to centralize all of our information. So have clear expectations on what that data will look like. Now we need to go capture that data and actually bring it into the system itself. So those are key areas as we think about the requirements of implementing that are really important. And ideally, as it relates to your maintenance process, right, is that we want to have our process picked out before we buy our software, right? We don't want a software to determine our process. We want the process to determine what software that we need. So having clarity around the actual process that our team is performing is absolutely critical as well, because that's going to determine both what system you purchase, but also to how you go about setting those items up in your account.
Yeah, I am so happy you said that. I have not heard very many CMMS companies state that you got to understand your process first, then go pick the software.
Yep.
And it's refreshing to hear that, because I see organizations buy the wrong software for what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
This one may look nice, or it may have this certain functionality or whatever it is, but it's not the functionality they need. Or, you know, this is meant for linear assets and we're operating in a plant and vice versa, right? So there's all these different things that go on. So I'm happy to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I find too, as you kind of talk through this, you know, standardizing asset names, part names, all these different things, is once we understand what we want to have in the system, now we may have to go capture that.
Yep.
Whether it's from the old system, whether it's go walking down the assets, whatever it may be. I find that that particular area is underestimated in terms of time. No one understands how much work that actually is. Do you find the same thing?
100%. That is the biggest lift during the implementation process. And that's really determining where you're coming from, right? So an organization that may have a less mature maintenance program and that has never used a digital tool to perform their job, most likely they're not going to have a record of their pieces of equipment. So for that organization, they're going to have to go and do the manual activity for the first time of capturing it, right? That includes capturing the names, the details of that piece of equipment. And then for other organizations that may be coming from legacy pieces, legacy softwares, right? There's probably a reason why they're moving off the legacy software, because no one used it. And in that scenario, then at that point, we probably have bad data or stale data in the system, which then, you know, we might have the information collected, but we still need to go through and actually clean it up. Because we have a saying here as well at Upkeep, is clean data in is clean data out, as it relates to reporting, right? So this is, as you touched on, one of the most underestimated areas of time spent, but one of the most important areas to really focus on and really make sure that we have resources and time allocated to do that activity.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Yeah, so we got to collect this data because it's vital. Now, you mentioned the data quality side as well. Is it clean data? How important is it that we get that right?
Yeah, that is absolutely critical, because if we populate inefficient or old or unstandardized data, we're essentially going to create a bad end user experience, and your reporting is going to be really impacted negatively. And the data collection tends to, again, be the longest part of the implementation. But what we always recommend doing is, you know, taking that time, scheduling the events, because as I touched on before, for the end users, one of the most frustrating things as a technician is if I go and I try to create a work order and I'm standing in front of that piece of equipment and I can't actually apply that to a work order, then we start to lose trust, right? Yep. And you have a very finite amount of time for technicians to actually be accepting of a new tool that we have to use to perform our job. So again, we want to make sure out of the gate, that system is well thought out and we have all the data needed in order for them to do their job successfully.
Yeah, absolutely. That trust comes through in so many different ways. You mentioned being able to find the right asset, trying to find parts in legacy systems. We'll talk about bearings for a second. We might type in bearing and we get a list of 20 bearings. We type in bearing or BRG or various other acronyms that they use. There's the rest of the bearings. So a technician is trying to find a part, but he can't because it's not named consistently or named the same way, or there's a spelling mistake. Same thing with manufacturers. I challenge anyone to come up with less than 20 different ways to put Allen Bradley into a SEMA mess.
And that
just erodes the entire trust from the teams. It also makes, like you said, the analysis so much more difficult. How do I know what I'm actually spending on bearings, or if I have duplicates in my storeroom? You can't do it without good, clean data.
100%.
So as we're going through, we're cleaning up this data, we're collecting this data, we're defining all these requirements. Who is really doing that? There's usually an implementation team. I'm guessing you might have a maintenance manager or someone from IT. Who else really needs to be on there?
Yeah. So we see a couple different layers of it, and it really depends on the size of the organization and the resources available, right? So for the smaller teams, it's most likely going to be the maintenance manager and the technicians going out and collecting that information. But if we're talking about a multi-site deployment across multiple states or multiple regions, right? There may be a Tiger team that's assembled that essentially will go from location to location to help with that standardization of the process. And then the other side of it is actually bringing in professional service resources, maybe from a consultant, right? That is an expert in data collection that may have a tool that they use to collect the information. And also as they're going through it, maybe they're barcoding that information as well. So again, we're continuing with this flow of standardizing our asset collections.
All right. So we're going to have a cross-functional team on there, end users, managers, IT. And do we really need that cross-functional piece where we're pulling in maybe engineering, procurement, purchasing, operations even?
Yeah. So what I always recommend is that you have a stakeholder, right? Because it's a fine balance between having too many cooks in the kitchen, right? Because too many people, you're never going to get anything done, right? But essentially, really, your stakeholders need to be the people that are either going to be using the system, those who need to get data out of the system, or those who are going to be supporting managing the actual system themselves. And so that's why, as we mentioned earlier on, right, defining what the requirements are and defining ownership of those requirements and those key stakeholders are absolutely critical. Because again, what we don't want to do is we don't want to build our CMMS system in a silo and then later find out after we went through an implementation that we're missing components or we're missing certain data sets of it. So it's a fine balance of get people that are going to be using the system involved, but not too many cooks in the kitchen where it's going to essentially slow the process down.
All right, perfect. Now, with all those different stakeholders, we probably are going to have to output data in various formats, whether downtime reports, cost reports, you name it. How important is it to define those reports and build them during the implementation process?
Yeah, it's absolutely key because, you know, how you build your system is going to determine what information you can get out of it, right? So understanding what the business needs to be successful will allow you to, again, understand your team's focus. And if we have production or revenue goals, then our team activities and our process will align to ensure that those assets, again, are in top shape or ensure breakdowns or disruptions aren't happening. So understanding the metrics that will help us have those types of insights are critical. And then again, will allow us to set up our system to be able to output that information for us. So again, if accounting needs to understand parts consumption, then we need to have a conversation with them to understand what information that they need to get out of the system and what reporting that they may need. So that's definitely something that we would recommend during the requirement phase, or what do we need to measure against, again, business outcomes, team activity outcomes, and maybe other departments and what they need as well.
All right, perfect. Now, with part of those requirements, I'm guessing we got to look at, is there any integrations that need to happen as well with the system?
Yes.
You know, whether it's GIS, whether it's an ERP system, something, we're going to define all that up front. We're not going to wait till after the fact. And how do we make this work, correct?
Yep, 100%.
All right, perfect. Now, you know, there's a lot of different factors here that we've talked about, but what do you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with a CMMS implementation?
Yeah. So this one's a tough one, but it's really about, again, the team using the system, and that having the mindset of determining how we're going to set it up, in change management is going to also be very important in that, right? So a CMMS deployment is not only a process change, but it's also a cultural change as well. And so this requires a thoughtful change management and really, again, getting that team bought into that. So that is the true success of a good implementation. Again, is our end users in there? Are they performing their activities in there? And does that then allow us to capture the data that we need to make better decisions with inside the business?
All right. I couldn't agree more. The change management side is important. However, it's not technical, so it often gets overlooked.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's hard. Change management is probably the hardest part of this entire thing, is managing 100%. That messaging, all that sort of stuff. Do you have any recommendations for how to go about that change management?
Yeah. So what we've seen is successful, again, is getting that team buy-in early on. There should be no surprise to your maintenance team that they're getting a new CMMS system, or the day that they go into training, it's like, surprise, so you guys are now going to use this tool to do your jobs, right? That conversation needs to start early on and have them participating. The other areas that we've seen success is finding your champion, your number one technician that is on the ground, that is a motivator amongst your team, and really get them excited about it so they can spread the word across the team about the benefits. What's really important is explaining the why behind why we're deploying a CMMS system. Because for some technicians who may have been doing their job for 40 years and never actually ever used technology, you know, they're almost going to be this big brother feeling around, now we have a tool and you're going to track me. It's like, no, we're going to actually track the assets and the locations and the work that we're doing. We're not going to track you as an individual, but you will use this tool to do this, right? Yep. So really explaining the why behind we're doing this so they're bought in on the vision. And the other part of it too, what we try to explain to teams is, you know, a lot of times maintenance is looked at as this reactive role, but we know that there's business impact and there's revenue impacts on them doing their job really, really well. But also too, it's, you know, one of those situations where sometimes we don't do a good job articulating the value the maintenance team is providing or having the insights on things like headcount needs. So by articulating that, having a system that's capturing this data will allow us to have more constructive conversations about resourcing and needs that the maintenance team may require to be more successful, right? So again, really explaining the why behind we're doing this activity, and again, getting everyone bought in on it.
Yep, absolutely. Perfect. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the CMMS implementation. What's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today?
Yeah, I would say the one thing is, it's take the time to plan your implementation and allocate time to the different steps and the resources. And it can be really overwhelming implementing a CMMS system. And it's easy to lose momentum really quickly, right? So I like to think that a CMMS system implementation is never truly done, and a crawl, walk, run approach is applicable. And it's really calibrating where your team is at in their maintenance journey. If your team has never used a CMMS system before, then it might be a little ambitious to try to get them to use a tool to do time-based maintenance, meter-based maintenance, right? And essentially run that whole process in there. But if we are okay with them essentially just getting in the motion of processing reactive work orders, and the walk stage is then now doing time-based, essentially calibrate where your team is at in their journey so it's not overwhelming as well. And then the other side of it too is that for the crawl, walk, run approach, you know, again, we always are focused on using more of the system over time. So if we, again, start with a small chunk and we have clear timelines of, hey, in 6 months, we want to hit this usage goal. So all work orders that have a due date are completed based on a percentage. Well, great. That unlocks us to then move on to the next side of the house. So really thinking through the process and, again, allocating times and really aligning in where your team is at and then just setting them up for success there.
All right. Perfect. Joe, I want to thank you for taking the time today to chat to us about successful CMMS implementations. They're absolutely vital, even revising a CMMS that's going through issues. You know, these types of things will help you with that. But before we go, where can people find out more about you, Upkeep? You know, what are you guys doing? What do you have going on? All those great things.
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to learn more about Upkeep and how we help maintenance and reliability teams be successful, you can check us out at onupkeep.com. We also have our Upkeep maintenance community, which is made up of 5,000 maintenance professionals from around the world and really learning together. The idea here is that we want to provide value outside of just having a software system. We want to up-level the maintenance community. And so the maintenance community is really focused on webinars. And I know, James, you've participated a lot in them as well, but also different trainings. We also have our maintenance community forum, where we essentially have live chats every single day talking about a wide variety of different topics to, again, try to help up-level the team, whether you're just starting out in maintenance or this is your first time entertaining the idea of having a digital system. And so if you want to learn more about the maintenance community, you can check out upkeep.org, and there's a wealth of information there and that everyone can go and learn from.
All right, excellent. Well, I will definitely put links to all this in the show notes, but my last question I got to ask, do you have a favorite resource, book, magazine, webinar, you name it?
Yeah, so not to be biased or additional plugs for Upkeep, but our content on our website, if you go on there is years of information that you can continue to read. And it's, you know, not Upkeep just creating that content internally. We really utilized our community to help build that information. And it ranges from, you know, again, just starting off, or it is just going into learning best practice within the industry as well. So whether you're doing facility maintenance and property management, or you are a true reliability team and we're working in the manufacturing space, there's a lot of information and resources both on our blogs and through the community that the team can access. It's just a wealth of information.
All right, perfect. Well, I will make sure to put links to all those in the show notes. Joe, I really appreciate you taking the time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, James. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.